Yesterday we have a homework. Do you believe in one true church? And according to the church council, it seems some of us have difficulty to say yes or no, right? Because you don't have enough information to make a decision. So I would like to add some explanation about one true church. Our main topic is a view of the TJC in 100 years from the book of Acts, True Jesus Church. We look our church from the book of Acts. If we read the whole book of Acts, did you see any name of the church in the book of Acts? The first church, what was the name of the first church? What was the first name of the name of the first church? You cannot find it, right? Why everybody needs to have your own name, right? Because we have so many people, right? In order to identify who is who, so you need to have a name, right? But if the whole world, only you, one person, then you don't have to have a name, right? So we cannot see very clearly what is the name of the first church. But when you reach to 20th century, before TJC was established by the Holy Spirit, they already have many, many mainstream churches. So when the Holy Spirit established the true church, then Holy Spirit moved the early worker. They named our church as a True Jesus Church. This name is trying to tell us what this church is really about. Commonly, we explain true as if we explain externally. True means we worship the true God, right? But internally, true actually is to differentiate. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine. Right? Why Jesus have to say, I am the true vine? Because there are many other vines, right? And this true vine actually planted by God himself. So the true Jesus church internally is to differentiate. Our church is different from other church. And the church is a group of people whose sin have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So even a person come to the church for a long time, even receive the Holy Spirit, but if the person does not receive baptism, the person still don't belong to the church yet. This group of people and between the true God, and there's a mediator, Jesus Christ. So we believe one true God, we worship Jesus, and this is the church we have. If we explain in this way, it's easier to smooth out the opposition. But internally, we firmly believe this is a true church, which is different from other churches. And when we do the evangelical work, usually, unless the Holy Spirit really move you, usually we leave the one true church to the last. Before the person want to be baptized, then we talk about one true church. Why we try to put the topic to the last? Because if the truth seeker asks you, can you open the Bible to tell me where is the true Jesus church? Can you find it? You cannot find it, right? But according to the Ephesians chapter 4, There are seven oneness. If we understand the meaning of each oneness, and the final conclusion is one true church. So we have 10 articles of faith. If we understand every article of faith in depth, the natural conclusion is one true church. One true church. So one true church is a conclusion of our understanding of the truth. So without understanding the truth, we try to bring the one true church in the beginning of our evangelical outreach. Most often, people is not going to buy it because we cannot open the Bible to directly say one true church is true Jesus church. When we do the evangelical outreach, leave this talk to the last. But before the baptism, we definitely have to mention about one true church. Why? Because if the person don't believe in one true church, the person cannot last too long in our church. Right? But if you believe this is a one true church in your whole life, if you care about salvation, we will never leave the church. Just like if a person has a cancer, right? In the whole country, there is only one hospital can have the specialty to cure the cancer. And then you will never go to other hospital, right? Even the hospital is very far. Even the hospital, the building is not very good, right? Even the employee are not very, reception are very, not very good. You don't care about it. You only care, I want to be cured, right? That is the reason we come to the church. But if there are 2-3 other hospitals can cure your sickness, then you just go into the Google to see the review, right? Which review is better? Then I'm going to that. The better review, I can be treated better, right? You have other choice. If we don't firmly believe in the one true church, we believe that other church can also lead us into salvation. Then when the church becomes so distant, far away, maybe you just think, we have a community church nearby in walking distance, why not? We just go to that church. If we have some personal issue with the members, then we start to think about, hey, maybe I join another church, they feel more friendly to me, so I can worship Jesus there. One true church actually is to help us to keep our faith until you die. So this is a very important concept of the one true church. Now, why it is only one? If we want to come back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, there is only one body. Jesus Christ has only one body. And where is Jesus Christ right now? He already ascended in heaven. According to the book of Hebrew, right? He is serving as a high priest, intercede for all the saints. And church is in the world and his body. So the invisible Jesus Christ in heaven and the visible body of Christ in the world are actually one. The head of the church is not any human being. A human being been chosen to serve as a vessel, as a servant. So the church have to emphasize more attention on the head. Attention on the head, which is Jesus Christ. What does Jesus Christ want us to do? Because he is the head. He is the owner of the church because he purchased the church out of the hand of Satan. since he purchased the church with his blood, so he owned the church. In the church, we have to pay more attention to Jesus Christ. If we want to judge which church is the one true church, the one body, then we use the following six oneness. You just hold the Bible. You go every church, you hold the Bible, use the Bible to make a judgment. And then you can find out, no matter where you can go, the only one church really follow the six oneness is here. You know, some of the people, they join the church because my parents, my grandparents, or their previous generation, they already stationed in the church for five generations. So naturally, I have to stay in this church. That reason is not good enough. It's not good enough because salvation is, the church is for salvation. It has nothing to do passing on from generation to generation if the faith is not correct. Of course, if the faith is correct, we have to keep our previous generation's faith. And some people, they try to choose the church because a lot of activity. More activity, I want to be involved, and then I come. And some of the churches, some of the people, they choose the church because of the pastor, they attract by particular person. In Garden Grove, there's a Crystal Cathedral. A few years ago, they filed for bankruptcy, and right now being purchased by Catholic Church. The Crystal Cathedral actually was built by a person called Dr. Schuller, and he was very eloquent preaching about positive thinking in the Bible. So when he was young and he was so eloquent, every preaching was live broadcast throughout the world, attract so many people. And if you visited Crystal Cathedral, you can see the front row, front two or three row. Every row, they inscribe the name of those who contribute the money. Because in the process of construction the chapel, they come short of the fund, and they find out a solution. If you donate exceed to a certain amount, your name will be inscribed into the chair permanently. After they come up with the idea, a lot of money keep on flooding into the church. And why the church file bankruptcy? Because this person gradually growing old, that the preaching cannot attract people. So the membership start to decrease. Once the members start to decrease, their offering decrease too. So they cannot operate the church. So they filed by bankruptcy. So in our church, we don't particularly emphasize any particular person because it is not the person. Or it is a personal gift who attracts the church. It is Jesus Christ himself who attracts the church. So some of people, they attract the church because of numbers, right? What the number means. This church has 10,000 membership, right? I attended one of the church in Korea. So pure gospel, what? Now, each service has thousands of people attend. It's just like you're watching a movie, right? After the service finishes, then go through exit this way because another group of people already come in. And the choir presentation, 100 people are presenting the choir. Very impressive. But we don't judge the salvation by the people. How many people attend, so the church is true or false. So the only one we try to see whether the church is true or wrong is by what? The teaching of the Bible. So if we look into chapter 4, verse 4, right? There is only one spirit. Body without spirit is what? When your spirit come out of your body, then what? You are dead, right? Oh, then your spirit come back to your body, then you're resurrected, right? Oh, body without spirit. Oh, so that is the reason almost the true seeker come to our church eventually. But nowadays, a lot of them before they receive the baptism, they are ready to receive Holy Spirit. Why? Because this is the body of Christ. So the Spirit of God is here. Now, if you only use this criteria to judge, 99% of the churches nowadays, they don't have Holy Spirit. Even Pentecostal church, if you watch the television, they say they have the Holy Spirit. But according to our experience, or some member who converted from Apostolic Church, their spirit is different. First, our spirit is moving tongues, right? Rolling tongue. Apostolic Church, their spirit is moving deeps. So when they pray, their song is the song of deeps, and it's not the song of tongue. This is the first one. The second one, when they pray, sometimes many people just fall down. And according to our understanding of the Bible, if you read the four Gospels, what kind of occasion a person will fall down? What kind of occasion a person will fall down? Only when they cast out demons. In TJC history, we can never see any person receive Holy Spirit. Oh, he was filled by Holy Spirit, fall down on the ground. Lose the conscience and what? Use a blanket to cover the person. No. If a person fall down, then you cast out the demon. No. We have a pastor in Philippines. It's called Rumantan. Originally, he was a UPC, United Pentecostal Church, the pastor. Now, one day he was reading some kind of a directory, and he saw the name of True Jesus Church, so he contacted with us, and later on converted, was baptized. And he was very gifted. Actually, in the central part of Philippines, he used the radio station to preach the gospel every week, one time, each time 30 minutes. And that about 20 years ago, when we visited that church, that pastor invited me, do you want to preach? I was going to preach where? Preach in radio station. I never experienced that. Just live broadcast. And that radio station can reach to about 100 kilogram, a kilometer. Very far. So after he preached, and then he will tell anyone, if you have a question, you just write to me. And next week, he will explain through the radio broadcast. And then he will inform those who listen to his program, right? We are going to have a spiritual convocation next month in where? And a lot of people come. And they never saw that person before. They go through radio broadcast. And through the radio broadcast, he himself established a few churches. And this person, he testified when he was in UPC as a pastor. One day he was doing evangelical service in the countryside. In the end of the evangelical service, when he prayed, all of a sudden he felt 5-6 people falling down. At that time he felt, I'm so powerful. So he was thinking about he really had that kind of power. But after he converted to TJC, and he received the true Holy Spirit, and then on he testified, the Holy Spirit I received previously, actually is different. So we really have the reservation about the Holy Spirit in Pentecost Church. It's not only different from our experience, it's different from the teaching of the Bible. And also the so-called the third wave, Pentecostal movement, the third wave. Actually, there was originated from Anaheim somewhere. And when they pray, they receive receive Holy Spirit, and they were prophesied, and they were saw the vision. So also all the prophecy, most of them are related to the worldly stuff. It's just like a fortune teller. When you pray, you can see you are going to have a car accident, you are going to out of job, you are going to have this and that, all related to the world. But according to our experience, when we saw the vision or interpretation of tongues, most often that will be related to our spirituality. Now, and also Pentecostal church, when they have a prophecy, a lot of them cannot be fulfilled. But in our church, if any prophecy from God, 100% will be fulfilled because it comes from God. One spirit, if we use this standard alone, then most of churches, they don't have Holy Spirit. So now the next one, just like you are called with one hope. One hope means the living hope. And living hope means eternal hope, which is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed to be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, a reserve in heaven for you. So the church eventually will guide us into the ultimate pursuit of our belief, which is eternal hope in heaven. But if we look into a lot of Christians, their faith eventually try to guide them to live a life in this world like in heaven. They don't emphasize the hope in heaven. They emphasize heaven is right now. Rely on Jesus. Even the if we look into Jehovah Witness, right? They don't believe there's a hell. They don't believe there's a heaven. Heaven is in this world. So one hope, and one Lord means Jesus Christ, one Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. And one faith, one baptism, There is only one correct mode of baptism, right? According to the teaching of the Bible, baptized in the name of Jesus with facing bow, with the likeness of Jesus' death, and then full immersion into the blood of Jesus Christ in the living water. And in the baptism of TJC, not only we do it according to the Bible, but also God confirmed our baptism with three things. We already read Mark chapter 16, apostles went out to preach the gospel, and God confirmed the gospel with wonder, miracle, and signs, right? The truth is invisible, but if the truth preached correctly, God will accompany with wonder and signs. So in our baptism, first, in many occasions all over the world, Africa, America, China, everywhere, baptism, sometimes people witness the blood of Jesus Christ. So far, I have read so many publications from other church. I have contacted so many Christians. I have never heard about any Christian mention that in their church or as a Christian for so long, they never heard about any baptism people witness the blood of Jesus Christ, only in True Jesus Church. If you don't believe, you just ask your friend. Oh, none of the Christian has ever witnessed the blood of Jesus Christ, according to whatever we experienced so far, only TJC, worldwide. There was a Christian publication, one day published a picture. They baptized people in a water tank. And then the water turned into red color. Why? Because they try to baptize people looks like the blood of Jesus Christ. So they painted the water tank inside with a red paint. And then when you painted the water paint with a red paint and you put water inside, right? One people step in, two people step in, three people step in, other more people step in, and the paint will peel off, right? When the paint peel off, mingle with the water, it become red. So that picture actually showing the paint mingle together, water become red color. That's the only picture I have seen. So in our church, our baptism reveals the blood of Jesus Christ. The second, right after the baptism, people receive Holy Spirit. I recall in the 1995, we have an event called Outreach in Uganda, in the border of Uganda. Many people want to be baptized. And then there was a big truck carry people to a river very close to Uganda. And when we baptize people in the name of Jesus, as soon as their head just come out of the water and then start to speak in tongues, they are filled by the Holy Spirit. And two persons carry them to the shore and they kneel down and pray for 10, 15 minutes, still filled by the Holy Spirit. Really. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You baptize for the forgiveness of your sin and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Sin removed, the Spirit of God will come down. And then to prove the sin had been forgiven. So this is the second sign. And the third sign, miracle happened. Sometimes when a person being baptized, the person have demonic, have been possessed by demon, or the person have very serious sickness. And right after the baptism, and the person can or was cured, or demon just gone. So these three miracle, wonder, and sign happen to prove our baptism is the one baptism. And then we come back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. It talk about one faith. One faith including the faith of water, the foot washing, the truth about Holy Sabbath, right? And the truth about justification by faith. So if we add up and explain that in detail, then we come out the 10 articles of faith. So if we want to know the one true church, we have to understand the seven oneness in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, then the conclusion is one true church. And of course, in the Old Testament, you can see the prophecy. For example, the Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, talk about the temple of God. And the temple of God, the spirit, like a living water, flow into the direction of the east. And that water is Holy Spirit. So one true church is a conclusion of study of the truth. And then how do we TJC view the other churches? Oh, this is also very important, right? How do TJC view the other churches? If we read Acts chapter 19, from verse 1 to verse 7. After Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7, how many baptisms in this, in here? Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. How many baptisms? 2 baptisms. Oh. But we just read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, is 1 baptism, right? And how come Acts chapter 19, from 1 to 7, had 2 baptisms? Why? Hey, Christopher, why there are 2 baptisms? Christopher, where, why there are 2 baptisms? Anyone answer? Why there are 2 baptisms? Okay. The first baptism, after they receive it, did they receive Holy Spirit? No, they don't receive the Holy Spirit. So Paul went to Ephesians, and ask them the first question. What is the first question? Do you receive Holy Spirit when you believe? Right? Nowadays, nobody asks this question, right? How come nobody asks this question? Because in every church, the pastor teach them. Once you believe, you already have Holy Spirit, right? You are converted, you already have the Holy Spirit. You receive baptism, you already receive Holy Spirit. But it's not true. So, Holy Spirit is so important. So Paul reached to Ephesians. The most important question he asked is, do you receive Holy Spirit when you believe? And their answer is no. And we never heard about that. And Paul did not ask them, do you pray hard enough? Do you fast and pray? Right? Paul asked them, and what kind of baptism you receive? He said, baptism of John the Baptist. And he said, baptism of John the Baptist is repentance. Is the repentance good? Yes, it's good. Is the repentance complete? No, it's not complete. So it's good, but it's incomplete. A repentance comes from belief. Believe in Jesus, so we repent. Right? And repentance is in preparation for the true baptism. So Paul baptized them the second time. After the second baptism, Paul laid hand on them, and they received Holy Spirit. Why? Because this time, the baptism is one baptism in Ephesians chapter 4. So how do we view the other Christian churches? First one, Jesus Christ, if anyone who is not against us, then is for us. This is the first concept. Any Christian churches, if they are not against TJC, then they are for TJC. Why do we say so? Because we know that Nigeria, if you know the country of Nigeria, the whole country can separate into 3 parts. The northern Nigeria is like a Muslim country. The southern Nigeria is like a Christian country. The middle Nigeria is what? Mixed with Christian and Muslim. Right. So you can see the newspaper always talk about the Muslim burn down the church, right? Why? Because they consider Christianity is different phrase. And then the Christian just retaliate and burn down the temple of Muslim, right? So nowadays, if we want to go to Africa to preach the gospel in a Muslim country, it's almost a no-no. It's impossible. We have a truth seeker in Iran. It's a lady. and she want to be baptized. And then on the church want to send a worker to baptize them in Iran. All right. And before the worker go, they search into the internet, and they find out if any missionary go there to baptize people, convert the Muslim into Christianity, you have to put into prison, life in prison. Oh, right. So it's so difficult to convert the person. Now, most of Africa country are believing Jesus. Oh, so the other church, they already lay a foundation. We only go there preach John chapter 3, verse 5 and 10 commandment. Right? You have to receive the right baptism. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to keep the 10 commandments. Oh, that's the most important thing we go there to teach them. Oh, so we view the other churches, if they are not against us and they are for us. Why? Because they lay a foundation for us to preach the complete gospel. Oh, this is the first view we view other church. Oh. The second one, we read John chapter 10, the book of John chapter 10. Verse 16. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Here, one flock represents what? One church. One church called one flock. And one shepherd referring what? One Jesus. Okay. So, in the beginning, say, I have the other sheep I have which are not of this fold. This fold referring to the church belong to Jesus Christ. There are other sheep not belong to the TJC True Church yet, and I will bring them to join the TJC. How? They will hear my voice. So if we preach according to the Bible faithfully, and also teach them to pray for Holy Spirit, once they receive the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit open their heart, they understand the Bible, and they will join the church. So that this is the attitude we look at other church. So we don't treat the other church as an enemy, right? We only see them as a preparation of the true gospel. So the other comment you talk about, then we are too arrogant. Why? Because we claim our church is only one true church, one true church. If this is a fact, then we only state the fact, right? We are faithful to God. That doesn't mean we are arrogant. We just state the fact. Since the salvation here, we want more people to be saved, so we want to bring more people to this church. Now, just like what we mentioned yesterday, right? Three important reasons why it's so difficult to believe the one true church. The first one is because in the academic world, there's nothing absolute. Everything is relative. So more educated people, you ask them to believe something absolute, is so difficult because they are trained. They have been trained in this kind of mindset. Now, but when we come to into our religious belief, you open the Bible, it's absolute. God created the universe. These books come from God. Everything come from God's creation. Right? The second reason why people are so difficult, because among the Christianity, ecumenical movement, they are pursuing the unity of the church to become one. So they don't talk about denomination. They only talk about the love of Jesus. So under this kind of culture or influence, a lot of churches, they cannot accept the one true church. And the third reason is more from the worldly view, right? Jesus said you have to go into the narrow gate, right? And those who are saved are only a few because they go into the narrow gate. In Noah generation, how many people were saved? Noah generation, how many people were saved? Only 8 people, right? Generation, a lot of people, only 8 people are saved. So after we understand the one true church, we only say, thank God I'm in this church. And we try our best to bring the people to this true church. Now, the simple faith will keep our faith, keep on moving on. Okay, any question? One true church, any question? Okay. One flock, yes, in one true church. Yeah. Yes. No. When we receive the baptism, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus already washed away our sin. Then we are already part of the church. Even we don't receive Holy Spirit yet, but we're still part of the church. And Holy Spirit will come eventually, but everybody's timing is different. If a person receive Holy Spirit and not baptized yet, they are not part of the church yet. Just like in the book of Acts chapter 10, right? Cornelius was listening to the gospel, and at that right moment he received Holy Spirit, but eventually he still had to receive baptism. Oh, okay. Why they don't receive baptism, but they can receive Holy Spirit? Well, that is a special mercy of God. Yeah, yeah. Usually, you have to receive baptism, sin washed away, then you can receive Holy Spirit because we have no sin. But some people, if they don't experience Holy Spirit, it's so difficult for them to believe. So God gave them the Holy Spirit first. So let's kneel down and pray and conclude this section.